Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. But the meaning I do is a reflection of how I feel about me and I do. But we are as perfect as we were created. Let's stop looking at races, classes, and faces. Share the same space. We might as well get it right now. Cause they're not a part of a religion.
Segment of Rays of Light with your host, me, the Ram, Khadija. You know, again, this is part two of the show that we did called Lies, Lies, and More Lies. And I guess I was just so fascinated with all the information that was brought forth by Dr. Claude Anderson. And I really want to encourage you all to read a little more. I think that's what's missing. Internet is fine. It's a great vehicle. It's a great tool to get information. But nothing still soothes the mind, and nothing is more powerful as reading. And I just want to encourage everybody again to read more. Again, you listen to Rays of Light to Liberate, okay? And we got a guest call-in number, and that is 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 982-4136. And we're going to go back into a part two of the program again. Lies, lies, and more lies. You know, because it's just too much. But before I get started, you know, sometimes I have to check myself before I get started. And today didn't start off very well for me. And I had to repent. You know, we have to repent daily. Today I didn't get the best out of my behavior because basically I'm really getting sick and tired of white people being more concerned about animals than they are about human beings. And I guess it's really starting to damn disturb me that I'm to the point where I'm asking the law to help me, because this is, you know, really insane. And, you know, people make jokes about it, and I'm laughing, and I'm saying, ha, 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 it's crazy. But when you actually encounter that behavior with white people in particular, it is very disturbing, and it really needs to stop. And I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about before I get to this information. I'm walking my dog this morning. Of course, I have a pit bull who's very, very social, okay? And I want people to know that. I really do believe it's not the breed. It is the owner. And I decided to get this particular breed after my Rottweiler of 17 years passed away last April. So I had about a year reprieve, and I picked up a blue-red pit. Beautiful young male. He'll be neutered next month, by the way. But we're going through our training sessions, and I'm walking down the street with him. And this is because I want him so well-trained. It doesn't do a person any good to have a dog, and he's so crazy that, you know, he can't be sociable and play in the park and have fun. So I agree with that concept, and I consider myself a very informed dog owner and also a breeder. So I'm walking down the street, and this particular lady has, when we get to her house, she's got all this damn ice. I mean, just all in front of her house, and it's just crazy. So now we have to cross the street, in essence, because I didn't want to take the chance of walking on the ice. And the lesson that I'm teaching my dog at this point is to how to heal better. So this is what we're working on. We stop and we go back. We stop. We go back to the, if he makes a mistake, we go back to the spot where he's made the infraction. We sit. I give him a chance to regather his brain, and we begin to exercise over again. Well, this particular spot that I was in, of course, I couldn't do anything because she had all this ice in front of her home. What I decided to do was to take my little beloved Zuri and go across the street and then walk on the sidewalk that the people had enough love and, I guess, common courtesy and respect for people to shovel the snow so there's no ice, okay? So, obviously, this stuff has been there since the storms and everything. So as my dog, of course, he wanted to keep straight because, you know, we were going that way initially, and he was like, well, why are we stopping? But again, like I said, his lesson is to listen to me. So he was wanting to go the way I didn't want to go. So the object was to stop his brain from continuing to move forward and to get his attention. So I cut my fingers, which I learned from Caesar. You know, there's two little techniques he uses. He either taps the dog on the neck and to regain his focus, or he may take his, you know, just the side of his shoe and just hit the dog right there on the flank. I mean, it's not kicking, it's not abuse, it's just a redirection, and it happens real quick to redirect the dog. So I'm practicing this discipline tactic with my, again, male pit bull, and he's doing fine. And as I begin to walk, I heard someone yelling, and I'm like, what? You know. So I crossed the street, and I happened to look up, and it was this lady who had all this ice in front of her house. She had the nerve to come out on the damn porch and said, I don't like that you hit your dog. Why would you hit your dog? I really couldn't believe what I was hearing. So I had to gather myself because, you know, I really wasn't down for it. And I was like, excuse me? Actually, I felt like the guy that, when the reporter asked him a dumb question, he said, what? Y'all niggas tripping. But I didn't do that. And I said, excuse me? What did you say? And she went and repeated it. So she let me know that she didn't make any mistakes. I don't want you to touch your dog. And all I'm saying is, I said, let me tell you one damn thing, lady. You need to go in the house, go grab some damn salt, or go to the store and buy some and put some down in front of your property so people won't fall down. What the hell are you doing over here worrying about this when you should be worrying about people got a cross? She said, oh, well, I guess I could, but I just don't want to see anybody. I said, I don't want to hear what you have to say about nothing. I don't even want to hear you, okay? So as she went on, I should have just left it alone. But, you know, she kept going on, and I was like, you know, I must not be at my best. So I really felt bad because, damn, y'all, I took it there, and I just had to cuss her out, you know? And then after I cussed her out, I got maybe about 10 feet. And I was like, why do you do that, girl? Because you know she was out there bad. You know, you should have just told her to kick rocks, you know, and die, and just kept it moving. You know, you didn't have to tell her that her face looked like a watermelon and that, you know, she needs to fall down, you know. And so whatever I said, you know, at that point, I was like, you know, I could have done better. So, you know, that was something I just wanted to share. Look, I never said I was infallible. I just said that those are the things that I work on. And I think we all should work on certain aspects of our behavior that we don't like, okay? So that was one. But anyway, that started my day off. So it got me fired up again. So let me go on back to part two of Lies, Lies, and More Lies with these folks. You know, as I was, the last time we were together, I think we were talking about reconstruction or a particular, just some stories about history that we weren't really familiar with. And I think I brought up a few of them. One of them that really got me crazy was what, 5 black presidents? I knew maybe one, but somebody said 5? Well, according to Dirty Little Secrets, about black history, its heroes and other troublemakers, by Dr. Claude Anderson, people in bars, boardrooms, and living rooms across the country have at one time or another entertained the question of whether America would ever elect a black president to be the president of the United States. And so who would be first? Well, of course, we know now, we would say it was Barack Obama, right? Well, according to Joel Augustus Rogers in his book, 5 Negro Presidents, you need to get that book, by Joel Augustus Rogers, 5 Negro Presidents, the questions are moot. Rogers believes that America has had at least 3 black presidents, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Andrew Jackson, and 2 black vice presidents, Hannibal Hamlin, and Warren G. Harding. Joel Augustus Rogers was a well-known and highly respected researcher who authored numerous books and articles in the 1930s and the 1940s. Rogers' assertions, while not supported by conclusive evidence, tend to reflect the circumstances of their time. Every state at that time had laws that defined who was black, okay, just like today. Some states classified a person as black when they had 1/8, 1/16, or 1/32, or even 1 drop of black blood. Not sure y'all are heard of the black 1 drop rule. Okay. Considering the cultural and ritualistic pattern of white men sleeping with black women, there is a high probability that many whites elected to the highest office across the nation who were legally black because they were always sleeping with black women. According to Rogers, Thomas Jefferson, the 3rd American president, was black. Rogers cites the denunciation of Jefferson in the Johnny Cake paper. Rogers quoted the political paper as saying, Thomas Jefferson, son of a half-breed Indian squaw, sired by a Virginia mulatto father. The paper also called him a half nigger. Town gossipers and members of the opposition party picked up rumors of Jefferson's heritage and gave them even wider circulation. But again, no proof of the allegations has ever surfaced. Rogers alleged that Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, the son of an Irish white woman who intermarried with a mulatto Negro, was legally black. In support of his assertion, Rogers further stated that what an air of truth to this allegation was that the elder brother died before Andrew was born. His widow went on to live on the Crawford farm where there were Negro slaves, and one of these was purported to be Andrew Jackson's father. In his book, Rogers stresses that Jackson was conceived after the death of his real father, whose name he bore. The historical documents indicate that Jackson's acknowledged parents were poor white immigrants from Ireland. Some newspapers even printed stories alleging that Jackson's mother was a prostitute brought to America by British soldiers. None except Rogers assert that Jackson was the offspring of mixed parents. On the other hand, history leaves no doubt that Andrew Jackson had very little love and affection for either black or Indian. And because self-hatred is a real, real deep dichotomy, I know that J. Edgar Hoover was black, and nobody, oh my God, had more hatred for black people than J. Edgar Hoover. So that's almost like a prerequisite or a precursor sometimes, especially back then when the climate is so different. If you knew that there was black blood in you, I'm sure you hated every bit of it. So you had to do everything you could to denounce it and to even just get it up out of you. You didn't want to identify with it. Lincoln, the second black president of the United States, according to Rogers, he was depicted as a Negro by his opponents. They were the first ones that called him a nigger, by the way. Why did Lincoln's political opponents call him an African? Well, according to Rogers, the texture of his hair and skin color appeared to be more Negro than Caucasian. His skin color was that of a mulatto. His hair was black, coarse. And his eyes. These physical characteristics caused many to think it was possible that Lincoln had some black blood in his veins. Did you hear me? His skin color was like that of a mulatto. His black hair was coarse. He had brown eyes. And these physical characteristics caused many to think that it was possible that Lincoln had black blood in his veins. Lincoln's political enemies may have called him Negro because they perceived him as sympathetic to the plight of Negroes and felt that they could hurt him with the accusation. Okay? That's one train of thought. Ironically, Lincoln's interest was not in saving a black in slavery, but saving the Union, which prospered through its exploitation of blacks. Rogers also says that Lincoln's vice presidential running mate, Hannibal Hamlin, was a Negro. He stated that after Vice President Hamlin was elected to office, he was attacked on the Senate floor because of his dark skin coloring. Hamlin allegedly responded to his attacker saying, "I take my color from my nature, and you get yours from a brandy bottle. Which is more honorable?" Rogers quoted a newspaper editorial in the Chicago Democrat, June 4th, 1861, that blasted Lincoln with the possible dire effects on the country if a free Negro is elected to the vice presidency. Wow. R.B. Rett, the successor leader of the political faction of Charleston, South Carolina, said, "Hamlin is what we call a mulatto. He has black blood in him." Rhett quoted the same article in the Chicago Democrat, June 4th, okay, 1861, in which that time he said, "The constant theme in the South for the last 2 months has been the election of the abolitionist Lincoln and the free Negro Hamlin." Wow. The constant theme, listen, y'all, in the South for the last 2 months has been the election of the abolitionist Lincoln and the free Negro Hamlin. Well, whether or not Hamlin was black or white remains unanswered. Either way, General Butler of the Union Army told his Secretary of War in the 1860s that in recruiting Negro troops, he would like to have a regiment of mulattoes. Wow. About the complexion of, Vice President Hammond. Now, what about that? You see what I'm saying? He says, I want to recruit a Negro troop. I want to recruit a Negro, you know, regime, you know, a troop. And I want to have this regiment be a group of mulattoes. You know, the ones, we'll get them all about the complexion of Vice President Hammond. Well, what that says to me is that he must have had very dark skin, or at least that it was noticeable that it just wasn't ivory soap white. And while President Woodrow Wilson was busy betraying black people and preparing for World War I, black Americans felt a sense of justice when they heard the rumor that Wilson had unknowingly chosen a black vice president running mate. Shortly before Election Day, newspapers heralded the story that Warren G. Harding, Woodrow's vice president, was a Negro. Oh, my God. Fuel was added to the fire when millions of flyers were circulated proclaiming that Harding's father is George Tyron Harding, obviously a mulatto man. He has thick lips, rolling eyes, chocolate skin, and his mother, Phoebe Dickerson, is a midwife whose ancestry is little known, is white. Wilson betrayed and barred blacks from government jobs. Was it possible that Woodrow Wilson had unknowingly locked himself into the White House with a black president? A black vice president, I mean? According to J.A. Rogers, Harry Daugherty, the attorney general in San Francisco, discovered over 250 copies of flyers announcing that Harding was black. But President Wilson ordered all of those flyers destroyed. Allegedly, the true stories about President Wilson and Harding were contained in a rare book, Warren G. Harding, President of the United States. Supposedly, there are only 3 known copies, and they are said to be worth approximately $200,000 a copy. Wow. When a representative of the Republican Party publicly asked Harding whether or not there was any black blood in his family, according to Rogers, Harding responded, "How should I know? One of my ancestors might have jumped the fence." Wow. Okay, so, I mean, that in itself lets you know that Barack Obama cannot be the first black president, okay? He just can't, okay? We all know about, what's his name, Henson, okay? But my point is, what was it, the first guy? I can't think of his name right now. It'll come to me. But I'm having a senior moment. This is just recent history, you guys. This is recent history. I think last time we talked about the burning of Jamestown. And I guess what is so crazy about this particular story and what bothers me the most about this is because I read something about this last week and they got mad at me. Someone sent me an email. And they were stating that, you know, I made some comments about Lord Buckingham, King James, and I think they kind of took offense to it. And usually when I'm having a lot of, or if anybody kind of hears the show fast and, you know, they're real religious, they really get really up in arms when you mention something about King James and the history of King James. But I just want everybody to know that King James had a lover. He was a gay man. And it's not that I have a problem with that or anything. I'm just saying, I'm letting you know he was a gay man. His lover was Lord Buckingham, okay? George Villiers was a man with a past, okay? A favorite of James of England, that's King James, his rise to power had been meteoric. Not a few people speculated and gossiped about his real relationship with the king, whose mother was executed, and his mother's name was Mary, by the way. And you can look all this stuff up. I mean, you get the books, and you can just... Actually, there's a book called Lord Buckingham. Well, let me just finish reading this article. Surviving letters that was left by King James to Villiers create such rumors. It gives credit to such rumors. I mean, they found the love letters, okay, that he had wrote to Lord Buckingham, whose name is George Villiers. Okay, so I just want you guys to know that. And this is a lot of European history. So this is the King James Version of the Bible that you use to represent God's word and take it as God's word, and which is so stupid to me because who heard God say it? Men? So man can say anything. Okay, so that right there is a concept that you know is not African. And because you have been brainwashed, you believe that. When the king created a special peerage for Villiers, that's Lord Buckingham, conferred on him the new landed title of Duke of Buckingham, many were very upset. Near the end of his life, James had effectively given Buckingham the power to run England. Disregarding the concerns of the parliament, the king alienated his subjects, and it said that he was unlimited when he died in 1625. Now, because he put his man, he let his man run England. Do you understand that? And there was concerns in the parliament. Like, what the heck is happening? They just bowl with it. They flame it. After Charles took the throne of England and Scotland, following his father's death of a stroke, Buckingham's influence continued. So did the problems with the parliament, whose members were upset with flagrant royal spending and bad foreign policy. Adding to the trouble was the king's arranged marriage to Henrietta Marie, the 15-year-old daughter of Henry and Marie Medici, a devout French Catholic. The new queen was not welcome addition to the English court. Buckingham, meanwhile, continued to exert influence, mostly bad, and amass wealth and power, including lands in Ireland. His marriage to Lady Catherine Manners, the richest heiress in England, produced a son, George, later 2nd Duke of Buckingham, and a daughter, Mary. But it wasn't a good match. It is said that Buckingham commissioned a painting by Sir Anthony Van Dyck to reflect the sad state of Villiers' marriage, because that's not who he loved. Okay? When Charles and I decided to help the Huguenots of La Rochelle, he sent Buckingham, referred to in the parliament, the grievances of grievances, to lead the expedition. It was, to put mildly, a disastrous move. You know what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish this story about Lord Buckingham for you, Price, that really want to hear a little bit about him and do a little bit on your own. So, till next time, when we get together, why don't you call in? And then let's deal with this Lord Buckingham situation, okay? When we deal with this Lord Buckingham situation, then maybe, you know, we might have something to agree on. In the meantime, you do your research, and I'm going to keep doing mine, and I'm going to see you next time, and we'll finish this conversation. All right? Be blessed. I mean, really. Be blessed, because that's all I have.
God bless this mess, this test we pass. Yeah.